we were singing there, Pastor Michael leaned over and said that he thought those hymn choices were really right on the mark tonight. So I appreciate those great hymns and some of my favorites as well. Well, tonight we have a special purpose in our service. Obviously, always, we want to honor the Lord. But we also want to express our gratitude and our appreciation and rejoice together with Brother Dave Harney and his wife Joan and remember just their faithfulness. And with that in mind, I want to just preach briefly to you from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So let me ask you to turn there if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 4. If you need a Bible this evening, there should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find 1 Corinthians 4 on page 1607. And I am burdened to keep this short. I told Pastor Micah how long I was targeting. He said, you'll never do it. Okay? So I won't tell you. We'll see. But, I appreciate we've got some school students here, and I know that some of you have final exams tomorrow, and I appreciate you not letting that keep you from being here, from being in God's house, and from being here to show appreciation and honor to your teachers as well. So thank you for doing that. And I want us tonight to just look briefly at two verses of Scripture, two very familiar verses, right at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read those two verses for us. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The title of the message this evening is God's Desire for Faithfulness. God's Desire for Faithfulness. Let's just have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this text. Father, we are thankful for the faithfulness of You, our God. And we're thankful for the faithfulness of those who have gone before us, those we read of in the Scripture, men like the Apostle Paul. Father, I'm thankful for those that You have placed in my life over the years who have been to me examples of faithful service, of unswerving commitment to the Lord Jesus. Father, I'm thankful tonight for Dave and Joan and for their testimony of just being wholly committed to You, having a heart to love You, to serve You, and to minister to Your people. Father, that is Your desire for each and every one of us, that we would be faithful. I pray that You would use Your word tonight to encourage us to continue in faithfulness. We're struggling a bit, maybe, to challenge us to step up in our faithfulness. And for those who are faithful, those who have committed themselves to You, might You just have this be to them, an assurance that You know, that You care, and that rich is Your reward one day. So You ask Your blessing upon this time that we spend in Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me read those two verses for us again, just to plant them squarely in our minds. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, let me just clarify a little bit what Paul means when he says, let a man so account of us. Okay, just not, maybe not the same expression we might use. But what he's saying there in verse 1 is this is how men should think of us. This is what you should think about us. You should regard us as ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. So Paul uses two words to describe himself, others serving the Lord there in connection with the church in Corinth. He describes them as ministers and stewards. This is what we are. This is what you should think about us. You see, one of the problems in the church at Corinth, and they had a lot of them, but one of the problems was that the people were divided and they were divisive. And they had a habit of aligning themselves with, maybe I would call it, their favorite preacher. They were name droppers, we might say. Some of them would say something like, well, we like Apollos. You know, we're Apollosites. You can find that in some obscure manuscript somewhere. Another would say, we really appreciate the ministry of Paul, and we're Paulites. And yet another one might say, we follow the teachings of Cephas, of Peter. And he was one of the original 12, you know. We're Cephasites. And that's what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. There were all these factions in that church. So here in our text, Paul is addressing their contentious affinity towards one teacher or another. And he says, here's what you ought to think about us. Here's what you ought to think about me, about Apollos, about Cephas, about all of us. Here is what we are. We are ministers of Christ. And the word there that's translated ministers is not the one that maybe we would normally expect to see, but it's a Greek word, a compound word. The first part of the compound is the preposition under, and the second part is rowers. Okay, under rowers. You remember the Roman galleys? Remember how they would have all those slaves below decks? Two or three of them on an oar. There might be 150 of them rowing. They'd row in four-hour shifts and then have a shift off and then back on again. They were under rowers. That's the word that Paul uses here. He says, you know, you're making much about who we are. You know, our preaching, our teaching, our background. Paul says, here's how you ought to think about us. We're under rowers. We're just there doing what God has called us to do. We're pulling our weight, pulling our oar, if you will. Just committing ourselves to our shift. We're under rowers of Christ. We're not lords. We're not masters. We're not anything in ourselves. We're just slaves. We're just rowers faithfully serving the Lord Jesus. Then he adds a second term. He says, not only are we under rowers, but we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And the word that's translated stewards, another compound word. First part of the word is house. And the second part of the word means arranger or manager. And if you remember back in Bible times, a steward was a man to whom a householder would entrust the care of all of his goods. And so that steward, the Greek word is oikonomos, right? The home manager, the household manager, the manager of affairs. Remember when we were studying the life of Abraham, and we saw Abraham's steward, Eliezer. These were people who were trusted, who were respected, but they didn't own anything themselves. They were servants in that home seeking to attend to the needs, to the responsibilities of the household owned by their master. And Eliezer was responsible for managing all of Abraham's affairs. In fact, we're not absolutely certain it was him, but pretty sure that he was even called to go find a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. It's a pretty important responsibility. Another example in the Old Testament is Joseph. Remember him? He had the responsibility to care for all of Potiphar's affairs. And when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he said to her, listen, you know, your master has trusted me with everything except not you. But he'd been entrusted with all the affairs. He was a steward. The Lord Jesus teaches about stewards by using parables in the New Testament. In Luke 19, he tells the parable of the pounds and speaks of this nobleman who went into a far country to receive a kingdom. And he gave his goods into the hands of his servants and he said, occupy till I come. Take care of these matters till I return. These three servants were stewards of the resources that belong to the master. And so, in our text, Paul says, that's what we are. We're under rowers for the Lord Jesus. We're stewards of what He has given us. We're not owners. We're not proprietors. We have nothing in ourselves. We are simply stewards of the mysteries of God. And I won't elaborate greatly on that, but a mystery, that doesn't mean something that you can't understand. When you read about a mystery in the New Testament, it's talking about something that could only be discovered by revelation from God. It's something that in the Old Testament they didn't understand. But there were these things that God revealed in the New Testament through people like Paul. And Paul would declare those mysteries and he says, you know what, I'm a steward. God has entrusted me with a responsibility to you. It's not from me. It's not about me. I'm just a steward. I'm an under rower. for Christ. Then in verse 2 he adds this. He says, moreover, in other words, besides that, here is what is required in stewards. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Folks, I hope we understand here that there is one essential requirement when God entrusts you with something, and that is faithfulness. It is required in steward, in ones who possess in their hands the things that are given to them to care for from somebody else. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's illustrated in the parables. It's stated expressly here by Paul. That's the only requirement. Stewardship implies responsibility. Responsibility implies, yea, demands faithfulness, dependability, trustworthiness, whatever word you want to use. That's what God desires, that a steward be found faithful, that he's honest, that he's true, that he's doing his best to give a good account of what God has placed in his hands, care for his stewardship. And that is the consistent requirement that is set forth in the Word of God. A stewardship requires faithfulness. In Matthew 25, there's another of those parables that Jesus taught, the parable of the talents. It's similar, very similar to the parable of the pounds. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, we again have a master entrusting his servants with various stewardships. And one of those stewards is given 5 talents. And another one receives 2. And another one receives 1. And the Lord goes away, and when he comes back, and I'll use this expression, the 5-talent steward had learned 5 more. And the 2-talent servant had gained 2 more talents. But the 1-talent man, of course, as we know, had buried the money he'd been given and frittered away his opportunity. The master was, not surprisingly, displeased with the one who had failed to use what he had been given. But he commends the other 2 servants, the 5-talent servant, the 2-talent steward. And what's interesting is that as Jesus gives us the words of that commendation, they are exactly the same for both of those stewards. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Right? It didn't matter if it was 5 talents or 2 talents, and it wouldn't have mattered with the 1. The commendation would have been the same. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's there in verse 21 and again in verse 23, because Jesus relates the master saying those exact same words to both of those faithful stewards. You see, folks, God doesn't make a distinction between men in the great rewards that are yet to be made. The reward is the same. God doesn't make a distinction between men in terms of their abilities or their opportunities. You know, I reluctantly use the expression the 5-talent steward and the 2-talent steward, because the point isn't that one of them had more or did more. The point is that God had entrusted them each with different things according to His own appointing. And what they were called to do was to be faithful with whatever they had received. The man who buried his talent, if he had just gone out and used what he had been given, as the others had done, whatever the result would have come, God would have been pleased with that. The master would have been pleased with that. Because God's call upon us is not to produce results. God's call upon us is to be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, in our culture, we tend to like to compare. And Paul says elsewhere in Corinthians that they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. That's not the point. That's not God's emphasis. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, Paul says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Okay, that's a little bit cumbersome language, but what he's saying is, listen, if you have a heart to serve, then God's not concerned with what you don't have. He's going to give you what He gives you, and He's interested in how you use that, in what you do for His name's sake, based on what He has given you. Don't focus on what you don't have. Sometimes people say, well, I can't serve because I'm not good at this, or I can't do this, or I don't have experience with this, or I don't compare to so-and-so or so-and-so. God's not interested in that. God says, here's an opportunity. Here's an ability. Here's a responsibility. And God's requirement for us is simply that we would be faithful in good conscience before Him in whatever He calls us to do. We don't have to measure it. We don't have to compare it. We just are called to be faithful. Our problem is that we tend to measure the depth and the scope of our efforts. God is looking for faithfulness. That's what's important to Him. Faithfulness is what He requires. Simple, old-fashioned, just doing what God asks you to do out of a love for your Savior and a desire to serve Him. We live in a world that's all about how much you've got. You know, how much money, how much education, how much ability, how much opportunities, how much giftedness. God says, what matters is faithfulness. That's what's required. That's the message Paul emphasizes in our text. And you think about it, Paul himself was an amazing man, humanly speaking. He was a man of great intellect. He was well educated. He had a pedigree, if you will, in his culture. As we examine his life, he was a courageous man. He was a committed man, though he might not have identified himself that way. I don't know, but you know, you look at him and you say, wow, wow. What a servant of the Lord. Apollos was a gifted orator. You know, the Scripture tells us that. That he was a man just had an amazing way of communicating. Peter was a pillar in the early church. He was one of Jesus' closest disciples while Jesus was upon this earth. And Paul says, you know what? None of that matters. We, all of us, Apollos, Cephas, myself, we all of us, we're just under rowers. We're just stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And here's what's required in stewards. That a man be found faithful. The one great measure upon which God judges us, it's not according to our gifts, but according to our faithfulness in whatever God chooses to entrust you with. Your family, your work responsibilities, your ministry opportunities, the neighbors that you come in contact, whatever it may be, whatever God puts on your plate, what He asks you to do is be faithful in that regard. Whether you think you can or not, whether you know what you're doing or not, God is looking for faithful people. Sometimes the people that God uses in the most profound ways are those who in and of themselves are the most insecure about what they're doing. Because they're dependent on God. And they're saying, God, this is what You've asked me to do. This is what You've put before me. All I know to do is to be faithful. Because it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The tremendously important thing in the sight of God is not what you have, but what you do, how you use what you have. Being faithful, being true, being honest, being dedicated, giving God the highest and best that you know to do. After all, folks, that is what He has done for us. He gave us His Son. His Son gave us His life. We serve a God who is unfailingly faithful. You know, most of us are familiar with the passage in Lamentations 3. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. So folks, we serve an infinitely faithful God, and that God calls us to be faithful. And He'll help us. And His grace is sufficient for us. But His calling, His demand, His requirement for us is that in whatever He has entrusted to us, that we would be faithful. It is required in stewards that a man, as Pastor Micah pointed out, or that a woman be found faithful. That is God's desire. Now what we want to do tonight, how did I do, Pastor Micah? Okay, all right. We want to...